The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
The government, meanwhile, while Michael D. Higgins was firing shots across their bows, they were announcing plans to replace the current minimum wage with a new living wage. Now, starting next year, it's going to be phased in over 4 years until it matches the living wage by 2026. So the minimum wage is currently €10.50 and the living wage will be set at 60% of the median wage in any given year. What does that mean? Well, it means this year the living wage would be €12.17. Robert Thornton is a member of the Living Wage Technical Group and a senior research and policy officer at the Vincentian Partnership for Social Justice. Robert, you're very welcome to the show. Do you welcome this?
Thank you. Well, we welcome an improvement in the minimum wage rate. And we certainly welcome any developments that we bring that about and commitment towards looking at the adequacy of the minimum wage. However, we, the Living Wage Technical Group, have been calculating what the living wage would be as a salary level that would be adequate to enable a decent standard of living since 2014. And we've been doing that using evidence and research from the Vincentian Partnership, which works with members of the public to agree on what's needed for a socially acceptable standard of living. It gives us a basket of goods and services and from which we can price and work out what the actual real minimum living costs are. And that gives us a direct measure of what people need. And our most recent calculations for this year were that the living wage rate will be €12.90, so somewhat above what's been announced today by the Low Pay Commission and the government.
So today's announcement doesn't go far enough in your view. It won't provide people with enough income in order to get by.
Fundamentally, yes. I mean, it's undoubtedly is significantly above the current minimum wage rate of €10.50. But to call it a living wage when it's an indirect measure based off this proportion of median earnings, as opposed to an actual direct measurement of what minimum living costs are, means that it's kind of only failed to meet those minimum living costs because it's not based on actual costs, and so it is falling short. Yes.
Neil McDonnell is with us as well. Neil is the chief executive of ISME, representing small and medium enterprises. Neil, what's the view of your members to this policy change? We'll set aside for a moment whether it should be 12.90 or 12.17, that distinction that Robert was talking about, but the overall policy objective of moving towards a living wage rather than a minimum wage. The ISME view, please.
Yeah, the overall policy, Kieran, unfortunately, is simply bound to fail. And if I could link it to the item you actually had just immediately preceding on the president's speech about housing and the cost of housing and rents, it's probably necessary at this point to point out that 10 years ago, or just over 10 years and a month, in May 2012, there were 15,000 properties available to rent on Daft. In May just gone by, there were 851 in the whole country. That's a 96% decline in stock. And that was because of political decisions to tax the provision of accommodation by landlords out of existence. So it was politics that got us into this mess, and we will not get out of it by simply increasing wages. So you can increase wages. You know what? Don't worry about your €12.90. You can go to €20 an hour. You can go to €30 an hour. And all you will do when you have a situation like you have in the country at the moment, where there is a desperate short of housing, is you will transfer money from employers who can barely afford to pay it to landlords and the owners of property. So we have to get our head around the fact that forcing wages up by legislative fiat is simply bound to fail. And we actually have to start addressing the root cause of the increases in costs. And the only way you do that is to provide more accommodation.
Robert, what about that view that, I mean, that in terms of a wealth transfer, it shouldn't be from employers through employees to landlords, that instead it's the government's role here to bring down the cost of living, as it were, so that, you know, you can get by on 12.90 or 12.17 or indeed 10.50?
It's certainly that's part of the issue. I mean, we know living costs have been rising, especially at the moment. But minimum living costs have been rising for quite a few years, and rents have been going up, and rents have been driving up the real living wage calculations for the last number of years. All of that is not surprising, really. We're all very aware of it. But can low-paid workers be the one that are left waiting for a functioning housing system, or do they need to be paid enough to survive and live with dignity now while we address that much wider housing issue? You know, the principle of that work should provide an adequate income, that full-time workers should be able to live with dignity, to be able to afford the basic essentials of life, that would seem to be a fair and right thing to aspire to. The 1217 or 1290, yes, there's an issue there with housing costs, but nevertheless, the current minimum wage is a low rate. It is low pay by the international standards. You know, 66% of median earnings is what's taken as the low pay threshold, which is we currently estimate at around 20% of employees in Ireland are below that level. So, you know, there are many aspects to this issue, but and housing is certainly one of them. But also the current low minimum wage is one of them.
Neil, I suppose in principle you might be right. I mean, bring down the cost of all of these things, and suddenly €10.50 might be enough to get by. But is Robert right in suggesting that actually it's workers on the lowest salaries who will suffer for the longest, because it will be a long time waiting for cheaper housing, cheaper childcare, cheaper food, cheaper fuel, you name it.
Yeah, but I still unfortunately have to disagree there, because what you're saying is if we just artificially increase our national minimum wage, which is the second highest in, and has been for many years actually, this isn't a new thing. The only people in Europe with a higher minimum wage than us is Luxembourg, okay? And the big problem for Ireland is we're also the second highest and most costly jurisdiction in which to live after Denmark, which interestingly does not have a national minimum wage. So as long as we continue with, and I have to be critical here and say that with this illusion that if we simply try to push up wage cost, we will address the cost of living, I'm afraid that simply won't happen. We've actually conducted a live experiment in doing this over the last 10 years, and it simply hasn't worked. And, you know, raw data in big social experiments like increasing the statutory minimum wage, for example, in Seattle, has actually shown that, you know, when times are tough, what actually bidding up wages does is it reduces employment. We see this happening already. And employers, you may have seen it over the weekend in the Business Post, the cost of living issue is now so critical for a lot of employers that they are buying houses to put their employees in.
Yeah.
You know, we have a systemic failure to control costs in here, in this country, because we have far more people looking for accommodation than there is accommodation for them. And our political system and our legal system are impeding the delivery of housing. And what's been said by your other contributor about the amount that housing contributes to the cost of living, unfortunately, this is not accurately reflected in the CPI, which just has an 18% provision for rents and mortgage equivalent. In reality, for the lower paid, rents can be 50, 60, 70% of what they're taking home and more.
Robert, let me just put those concrete examples that Neil talked about to you, that there is evidence from other jurisdictions that increasing the national minimum wage and bringing in a living wage, that all it does is that it increases the floor of affordability across the board. It drives inflation, in other words, and suddenly the €12.90 isn't enough to get by on anymore. And actually, in the short term, it drives down levels of employment. What's your response?
I know Neil likes to quote that Seattle study. I don't think it's as cut and dry as he might present. There's been a lot of research around Seattle and their $15 minimum wage. And by and large, it's been found that it hasn't affected employment. And because those on low pay they spend their money locally. So it doesn't drive inflation, it doesn't affect employment. What it does is it supports local economies and local businesses to continue to trade, because what we're seeing now in the situation with the rising costs of living and rents being part of that is people not having enough to continue to buy essentials, to that they are being left short. So when their wages or their income increase in that context, all they are doing is continuing to buy the things they need locally. That money doesn't leave their locality, doesn't leave the country, it doesn't go on foreign holidays or imported luxury goods. It keeps them afloat.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. Robert Thornton is a member of the Living Wage Technical Group, and he is a senior research and policy officer at the Vincentian Partnership for Social Justice. And Neil McDonald, of course, is the chief executive of ISME. David in Cork says a living wage is absolutely moronic, isn't it? So easy for an academic in Ireland to talk about increasing minimum wage. We have the second highest minimum wage in the EU, and this lot expects small businesses to pay more. The socialist policy doesn't work. Socialism doesn't work. Don't use Sweden as an example, please, as it isn't a socialist country. It tried it decades ago and it failed. Small businesses are struggling in this country, and academics are simply not capable of understanding this in their bubble. I'm sure somebody out there might disagree with David in Cork. 53106. Another on this topic. I am an employer. I cannot get employees to work. The real problem here is the tax, not the wages. We're carrying too many people who won't work, and as a result, we are taxed to pay for these people. Many people can't work for various reasons, but many people, able people, just refuse to work because they're too lazy or they have benefits on the dole. I know lots of people suggest that there's great swathes of the population sitting on their arses not doing anything. We actually have full employment in this country. Now, of course, that allows for some people who don't bother going out to work. But it's also a statement of fact that we have full employment by kind of modern standards, how that is defined. So I'm not denying the existence of these people, but I might respectfully suggest there's not as many as we like to think out there. Anyway, 53106, I'm sure some will disagree. That's the text number to cost of 30 cent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.